The question is, when will it end? When will it end? Many of us have considered this question probably this week in so many ways, right? Whether it was directed at the events in Uvalde, or maybe the fact that there was a pastor in Atlanta early this week, or last week, excuse me, who was ministering to a man who just got out of prison, doing her Christian duty. And unfortunately, he decided to find her one day and to kill her. Her family actually found her through her iPhone app. She passed away ministering to someone else. Maybe you ask yourself, when will it end about that? Or maybe you thought about, when will it end, when you heard on Monday and Sunday for the millionth time how Brian Kemp opened up Georgia, or Burt Jones hates critical race theory, or you heard about the 10 million businesses that Stacey Abrams owns and operates, or how wonderful Raphael Warnock is, and on and on and on. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that those are over, at least for now. At least for now, but we know they're coming back. Or maybe you asked that question, when will it end, when you heard about more leaks from the writings of a male Supreme Court justice who uses his power to tell women what they can or cannot do with their bodies. Or maybe you just heard another story about COVID and you're kind of wondering, when will that end? Or maybe you didn't ask that question in regards to any of those major news events. Maybe you thought, when will it end in regards to the struggles in your own life? When will the pain, the anxiety, the depression, the fatigue, the sadness, the uncertainty, when will the sickness end? Adding to that anxiety, depending on who you speak to, the end of the world is coming, as if we didn't have enough to prepare for, right? We are living in the last days because the times that we've been going through are so dark, so taxing, and so evil. So in keeping with that apocalyptic theme, I thought it would be prudent today to preach from the book of Revelation. Ooh, scary Revelation, right? I know. So as we consider, when will it end, let's see what it is from 30,000 feet, right? It, a time when the people are suffering and all hope seems lost. The economic system is only benefiting the wealthy. Everyone else has been left behind. People are dying by the millions. I've just wonderfully described 2022 and 1918 and 1937 and 536, just to name a few short years when pandemics and weather catastrophes and political upheaval existed. What I'm simply saying is this: difficult times have always been here. Whether they are personal or familial or national or global, we've always seen dark times. We know hard days. But you know who has been there through those challenging times in the 6th century and the 14th century and the 20th century and today? God. God has always been there. In the midst of chaos and strife and disharmony and angst, God has always been there. Now, I will say that the ending isn't always a happy ending, and every situation didn't always get worked out the way we want. But it didn't mean that God wasn't there. The deal we signed up for when we got baptized wasn't for everything to go our way, was it? It wasn't, and I wish people would understand that. We didn't sign up for easy. We signed up for Jesus. And I want to make that clear. But, excuse me, just as the time of strife ended in 538 and 1348 and 1919, the difficulties we face in 2022 will give way one day as well. All we have to do until then is hold on. Our scripture for today speaks specifically to a church existing in the midst of a chaotic world. In the time of the text composition, there was oppression and occupation and upheaval. And as a result of the chaos, many people decided to deal with the pain around them by engaging in self-destructive habits. Because as many of us know, sometimes we medicate to deal with the chaos around us. I'll say that again. Sometimes we self-medicate to deal with the chaos around us. But Christ didn't then, and Christ doesn't now want his people to self-medicate or self-destruct. He wants them to self-actualize. So Christ, through John, speaks to the Christians on earth. And it's a divine message of their respective strengths and weaknesses and a path to self-improvement. And it was delivered to 7 churches around the world. Obviously, there were more than 7 churches, but if you read the book of Revelation, 7 is a very big number. 7 is a holy number. So in hopes of keeping them safe during a chaotic world, our text of today that Molly read so wonderfully focuses on the 6th church. The 6th church is the church in Philadelphia, Now, the name should already allude to what kind of church it was. For our trivia fans, we know that the city of Philadelphia is known as the... $100 for everybody. Yes. I really don't have $100, sorry. But it is the city of brotherly love, a combination of two Greek words, phileo, which means love, and adelphos, which means brother. The name implies that this territory, in that very territory, there should be a group of people who are not related, but live and love as close as family. A group where genuine love permeates the group, which means that there's unity there between them. There's harmony. There's forgiveness between them. There's openness and honesty amongst the people. See, by its very name, this church, this body of people through Jesus is showing us just how to survive in dark times. Together. Together is how we get through the pain of school shootings and store shootings and church shootings. Together is how we get through the political divides and the Supreme Court nonsense. Together is how we get through that bad diagnosis and that sudden loss of a loved one. Together in an environment with people who love us despite our faults and our flaws and have committed to doing this work in an effort to make sure that we all thrive together. And for some of you, you're saying, I already have this at home with my family, right? If that's you, then praise God, you are blessed. But that's not the case for everyone. And that's one of the great reasons why God creates the church. Church from the Greek term ecclesia, which simply means assembly or a grouping of people. But again, every home does not have that loving, bonding reality. I didn't. I have it now, but I didn't back then. And millions of people don't have that either today. And for sure, I'm going to say this, that 18-year-old who pulled the trigger on Tuesday didn't have it either, whatever we think of him and his actions. But when we think of what Jesus is saying that'll help us to get through these difficult and hard times, it's hard not to wonder if we as the human family have all failed each other because the spaces and places of brotherly and sisterly love are simply not as existent as they used to be or severely compromised. What do I mean? It's not just the church, right? Look at some of our schools. Now, if you are removed from knowing how schools operate right now, let me tell you, children are being bullied mercilessly. They're coming to school hungry. Children are making children and taking away children. That's not love, right? And the problem is the places where love is being shared in these schools, and some of the people here are doing that very great work, it's being drowned out by the darkness. But it's not just schools, right? Places where we work used to be loving environments, but they're not anymore. If you're removed from work, let me tell you. Now, a lot of places are filled with microaggressions and a hyper-competitive atmosphere and passive aggression everywhere you go. And it doesn't even stop there. For some of my seniors who hang out in day centers, are they really friendly? Are they as friendly as they used to be? Can a new person come in and be welcomed? Or is the senior center just like high school, right? Where it's all clicked up and there's the cool table and the not so cool table. This happens even in senior day centers. I'm telling you, it happens. It's almost like everywhere we go, there's drama and discord, which is exactly the opposite of what Jesus wanted. The Bible is telling us that we need these spaces and places of love to survive. And survival takes on a whole new terminology today. But someone's saying, Richard, I don't go anywhere. I'm retired. I don't talk to people. I just keep to myself. What you're saying doesn't really apply to me today. And if that's your attitude today, I'm here to tell you that that's an inaccurate statement. And let me tell you why. One of the things that I love about this place is there are people, a lady specifically in their 70s and their 80s and their 90s, and they use their hands to write the most beautiful cards. They use those hands to dial phone numbers, and they open up their homes to people for times of fellowship. And some of them in their 70s and 80s and 90s actually use their smartphones to text lovely text messages. I love them. That's how you create spaces of love where people can feel like family. And those are the moments that help us when the days are dark. So today, the question to consider is, how is Jesus calling you to be church today? Where is Christ calling you to offer spaces of love and community? In your home, at your job, in the senior center, at your school, in your church. I dare say if we find the answer to that, then the world becomes a little bit of a better place for us all. What I love about this text, I love verse 8 and verse 11. Verse 8 says, I know your deeds, which means that Christ is watching all of us, watching to see if we will engage that in a need, to see if we'll let go of that anger that causes disunity in our families, in our places of work, in our churches. Jesus is watching to see if we'll go that extra mile and sacrifice a little bit of our time to make things better for someone else. Because if we can, verse 8 also says, there will be an open door for you that no one can shut, which means there'll be a reward for your faithfulness that the world can't take away. The path to where you want to be will be opened to you just because you contributed to the assembly and you did your part to create love. Now, we don't talk enough about the blessings of the Lord because, unfortunately, a couple of people have taken the prosperity theology to places that it should not be. And if you're up in the middle of the night and you buy a holy water gallon for about $12.99 or prayer rack for $6.99, you know what I'm talking about. But the truth is God rewards obedience. And we don't talk about that enough. Not as a means to be given blessing, but the selfless, generous acts from our hearts, God sees and God rewards. And God is saying, if you just do that part, do your part, there's a door. And through that door is everything that you ever probably wanted or everything that you need. And it's open to you. It's like the game show, right? What's behind door number one? Door number one is blessing and gratitude and favor and mercy and grace because you took the time in your school with your friends somewhere to create a space of love, even for a population that doesn't even know that they need it. I can't tell you that I was probably 30 years old before I found out what love really was. And I meandered through life thinking I knew what it was and meandered through spaces where I thought love existed, but it wasn't love. And I'm telling you, many, many people grow up like I do. Probably more like me than y'all. And these are the people that need it. I also said that I love verse 11. Verse 11 says, I'm coming soon. These are the words of Christ. I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The crown is symbolic of the special things that God has for us. The love that we share with people, the joy that we have, the fun times, the memories that we build, all of those things are ours. And yes, there are going to be some times where we lose sight of that stuff. And there are even forces out there that will take that joy from us. But what God is saying is hold on to what you have. I know that parents held on to their kids tighter this week. I know that grandparents were more grateful for the beauty and the joy of the family they created this week. That even those who don't have a lot of family had friendships that they really realized were extra dear this week. That's our crown. It's a symbol of the royalty that we are. Jesus calls us a royal priesthood. So today, God is telling us to hold on. When it seems like it's time to give up, right? The world is stupid and everyone's stupid in it. I'm done with this. Hold on. When it seems like the church is ineffective, hold on. When it feels like my relationship isn't working, hold on. When it feels like I just don't want to live anymore, I have nothing left to give or to gain, hold on. Because all the beautiful things are a part of you and a part of me. And we have them and we can keep them as long as we keep our eye on the prize. Jesus is coming soon. back in the second and first century, they thought that meant that Jesus was coming tomorrow, right? But I got another interpretation for you, and I'm gonna leave you with this. Have you ever had an interaction with somebody that was divine, right? A time where you happen to just cross paths with somebody and they blessed you or you blessed them. Show of hands. Anybody ever had one of those moments? Who was in the midst of those moments? Christ was, right? So Christ came to you, came in that situation. So maybe Christ coming soon doesn't mean that the sky is going to crack open and trumpets are going to come and there's a horn pitchfork guy with a snake's tail that's going to run away. But Christ coming soon means that there's an interaction time. There's a space where something's going to happen in your life and you're going to see the beauty and the actions and the work of Christ. That's something to hold on to. Because right when we need Christ, Christ always finds a way into our hearts. Christ is saying, I'm coming. If you're scared about putting your kids or you're scared about going into the school next year, hold on to me. If I don't know how I'm gonna pay my bills next month, it's okay, hold on to me. If I just feel like I'm spent, and I feel like that sometimes, I just got nothing left. Christ is saying, hold on to me. And that's not only our prayer today, but it's our prayer for all of those who are suffering around the world. All the wonderful things that you enjoy and share, they come from Christ. All good things come from up above. So if you're feeling a little off center today, if you feel a little off center this week, hold on. Your Bible, open your heart, open your mouth in prayer. And let God show you how great he is. He's the one who controls the opening and shutting of the door. And if he says it's open, there ain't nothing that can close it. So if you want what's through that open door, and I know I want it so bad, I want it more than anything in the world, be obedient and hold on. And Christ will do his part. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we could describe life as best as a roller coaster. We go up and we go down, the twists and turns. Sometimes we're thrown for a loop. But when we are scared, we do. We reach out and hold on. Some of us are scared. Some of us are uncertain. We're all confused. And there are so many things that we can hold fast to, those self-medicating things. But today, Lord, all the people in the sound of my voice, we're going to declare that we're going to hold on to you. When we're anxious, we're not going to go out and do that thing that we always do. Or when we are tired or stressed, we're not going to go to that place that we always go to. No, 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 no. We're going to hold on to your unchanging, all-powerful, unstoppable hand. And we're going to walk through that door. The door isn't perfect. There's going to be some illness on the other side of that door. There's going to be some worry on the other side of that door, some frustration, some uncertainty. But Lord, we know that the path through the door leads to everlasting life with you. So though we may be cautious, though we may be afraid, though we may be unsure, we're going to keep walking. And we're going to walk in obedience, Lord. And we are going to think about how we create love and loving spaces. Wherever you place us is a place for us to do good and to change the world and let our light shine. So use us, Lord. And Lord, we're gonna do something special this week. We're gonna forgive. We're gonna forgive in the places where we need to be loving. We're gonna let go of anger. We're gonna let go of pain. We're gonna let go of all the things that cause disharmony, Lord, because you said together is how we get through. So help us to forgive this week. Help us to be forgiven this week. and help us all to walk victoriously towards what you have. We thank you for the victory in advance. And we thank you for your everlasting love that continues to bless and to show us grace and mercy. We thank you for this time, God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.